the report from Lyndhurst High School. On May 1st, they had a staff meeting. LHS rummage sale was on May 3rd, and it was very successful. Teacher Appreciation Week was on May 5th through May 9th. There was a Student Senate meeting on May 7th. The final food day was on May 7th, and prom was on May 10th. And on new business, Shady Creek is May 12th through the 23rd. Their senior trip to Great America is on May 17th. Their sports tournament on May 19th through the 23rd. And senior awards night at 6 p.m. on May 21st. And for Marysville, our last month we held elections for our 2014-2015 school and class officers. And AP testing was last week, along with sophomore and junior testing. Prom was May 3rd. And students overall said it was the best dance all year. Under new business, food day is this Friday. Blood drive is May 22nd. Our end of year rally is May 30th. We have graduation June 13th, followed by the sober and safe grad night. The theme is Las Vegas, and our girls track and field and boys JV track and field team have clinched the GEL champion title.
Thank you. Community party recognitions?
Yes.
Dr. Todd?
This evening we have Linda Elementary School Principal Judy Hart here to make some presentations for her A-plus community partner, classified employee, and certificated employee. Judy.
Okay, thank you. Good evening. All three of my recipients were unable to be here tonight. We've got some flu and colds going around the school, and so we will be making a visit to the business that we will be recognizing tonight, and also classroom visits for the other individuals that are receiving. Make sure that they go out the door knowing that they're so appreciated. So the business that we'd like to recognize is Brown's Gas, and during the last 3 years, they've contributed about $12,000 to our Shady Creek. And how this works is we raise money and we work hard all year, and then when it gets down to the actual camp starting, we go to them and ask, and they've always taken care of the balance due for us. So we will definitely be making a personal visit to their business to thank them. I'd also like to honor fifth grade teacher Amy Sether. Lenny can attest that she is just an amazing teacher professional. One thing I can say about her is she really cares about her students and what she's delivering in the classroom, and she invites them to be very much of the process when deciding things for the classroom. She was a big part of the new math adoption committee this year, and I watched her implement the programs that were being tested out, and I was amazed at how consistently she would ask for student input. She spent a lot of hours on the weekends just going through the materials and aligning it with the technology and really making sure that we were making a mindful, well-informed selection. So kudos to Amy. And the third individual would be Kathy Blackshear. She wears many hats at Linda Elementary School. And it's amazing because even though as busy as we can get and we're all feeling we're in the pressure cooker, she still says, I love my job. And she does it very well. So to those people, I'm sending them good vibes and a big thank you for all their service.
School report, Linda Elementary School.
And once again, good evening. And I would like to start out by saying that looking at my board report that I submitted, you could see that it was a very busy, productive year at Linda School. We completed our first year of implementing the PBIS program. Children are working on school murals as I speak in reflecting our Be Safe, Be Respectful, and Be Responsible motto. We also have been really increasing technology, making sure kids have access to it consistently. We put in a new computer lab that is used often and sometimes into the after-school hours. And another thing that we have been doing is, of course, transitioning into implementing Common Core. So while we're all busy about daily operations and working with our students, one thing that occurs to us on a daily basis is we are reminded of some of the challenges that our students come to us with in their home environments. And so one thing that we really try to do is to model stepping outside of our own experiences so that children can learn to care for others, to help them to develop outside of their circumstances. So I wanted to show to you one thing that we did this year. At the end of each trimester, we have rallies to celebrate student success. And we're noticing each year that these rallies are attended by parents and the numbers are really increasing. So we're happy about that. This particular rally we dedicated to a specific troop in Afghanistan. One of our teachers' nieces was a part of what was called the FOB unit. So we decided to honor the soldiers and all that they were doing for us and let them know we're thinking about you and you matter. So I think that the video you see tonight is going to depict really the spirit of Linda School. So if Mike could open it up.
Thank you.
So we work very hard, but we also come together and have a lot of fun. Are there any questions from the board?
Board. Ms. Boone?
Thank you. Thank you.
It's always nice to see the little ones having so much fun. It's indicative of Linda Elementary. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Anyone else? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Presentation, Lenny Tate for DLAC.
Very misleading in that I'm going to do very little talking tonight, but I would like our DLAC representatives to stand up pretty please. They're so eager to do so. What we've really been working on this year in our DLAC committee is working on our own personal confidence, and so they're going to come up this way, introduce themselves, and let you know which school site they're from. So guys, oh, thank you so much for being so brave.
I'm Darlene Williamson from Kynoch School.
Liz Diaz, Marysville High School.
Lupe Almaraz, Cobolot School.
Alicia Barajas from McKinney.
Melissa Gonzalez, Edgewater Elementary.
Jutal Linda.
Everyone, I'm Stephanie from Ella Elementary School.
Thank you.
And your DLAC is actually your District English Language Advisory Committee. And each of these folks not only serve on the DLAC and meet 3 to 4 times a year, they are actually meeting at their sites as well about 3 to 4 times a year, serving the English learners at their site. These folks are kind enough to come up and actually represent the whole district and work and collaborate on behalf of all of our English learners in our district. Now, moving forward, we have our... Oh my God, I just had an amazing surprise. Actually, our chairperson, Cesar Gomez, this is his very, very busy time of year, and he was very excited to come tonight. I know I've mentioned at previous board meetings that he hails all the way from the Grass Valley, Nevada City area and has his children here at Marysville High School, insist that they go to school here, and I believe has served as our chairperson for the last 2 years. And in other capacities on DLAC before that as well. And he wasn't able to be here tonight, so Ju Tao, our chairperson, and Stephanie, our secretary, are coming up to do the presentation. Thank you.
Hello, everyone. So the District English Learner Advisory Committee team has elected to use our DLAC meeting of the year to present our progress to the MJUSD. And here are some highlights of what we have discussed at our meetings. At the fall meetings, we have discussed we have followed the Robert Rule of Order in order to run our DLAC meetings effectively. We've also have been discussing the California Common Core Standards and what it means to the English learners, uniform complaint procedures, local education agency plan review. Also, we touched on the English Learner Master Plan Review and the self-testing and reclassification of the EL students since STAR testing is no longer existent. Thank you.
Thank you.
And then I'll be talking about what some of our meetings in the spring we have touched on. In the spring, we have elected our new secretary, which she just spoke before us. And before me, we've also listened to the local control and accountability plan presentation presented by the Executive Director of Educational Services, Ms. Lenny Tate. We've talked about the LCAP and what that means and affect EL students. And all of the DLAC members were able to participate and have some input in the LCAP at the DLAC meeting that we had. We, the DLAC team, has made tremendous growth towards being an independent board meeting, representing and being the voice of our English learners. DLAC is our window into the educational world, It is with much pleasure and fulfillment to be able to take what we learned from the DLAC back to our school site and share that with our English Learner Advisory Committee. With that being said, we would like to thank Superintendent Gay Todd and the members of the school board for giving us this opportunity to share and express our appreciations. Thank you.
Thank you. Lenny?
That was it. Yes, well, do you have any questions?
Board, any questions from Ms. State?
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Good seeing you again. Comments from the board members. Mr. Boone? Mr. Miller? Mr. Fleury? Thank you, Mr. Fleury. Mr. Rick.
Just a couple things. The winners of the ACE Award from the Exchange Club honors one of our North Marysville students, and Sadie Smith is her name, and she collected a $1,000 scholarship this couple weekends ago up in Reading. I had the honor of being selected as a judge in the Foothill Speech Contest, which is coming up in another week or so, and that's how they determine their speakers at their promotion ceremony. One other thing, tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. at the Yuba City Police Station, there's a yearly ceremony celebrating the memory of the officers who have given their lives into community service over the past year. So I wanted to mention that in case anybody has a free morning. I'm going to be there at 10 just to see the ceremony.
Thank you. You guys covered just about everything. Last Monday I had the pleasure with Mr. Fleury, Dr. Todd, and Mr. Harris to attend the Teachers Appreciation Awards at the Yuba County Office of Education at the where the wards used to be, wherever that is, and
Government Center.
That's what it is. I think what impressed me most was not only 95% of the recipients attended, but they brought their families, their kids. People cry in general. Just a great enthusiasm for not only their mom or grandma or uncle or aunt receiving the award, but the general pride in being a teacher, and the whole atmosphere was really great. And I also want to compliment my my colleague and Holly for they'll be going Thursday to the GEL finals for track and field, and they got quite a team. And if you're not doing anything Thursday, I'd highly recommend you get on over there and watch some great track. Thank you. Mr. Denable.
I'd just like to comment on Linda Elementary's presentation.
Thank you. Mr. Harris?
Trouble with going last.
Yeah, that's right. I'll start turning that around. You're right.
Come to me first.
Yeah, I will. You got to kick me sometime. Okay, then. This is a time for employee organizations to address the board. Please come up.
Good evening, Inga Schlesler, Marysville Unified Teachers Association. Tonight on your agenda, you have the Marysville Charter Academy renewal. And in your board packet, you can find, it's on page 110 in that handwritten writing, under labor relations, it says that employees will be required to be members of the exclusive bargaining agent for the classification in which they serve, which is the case, as far as I know, for the majority of the teaching staff. On page 101, sorry, it's out of order, but the employee qualifications, they have the same qualifications for what they call core classes, non-college preparatory subjects as at the other schools. But they, the second paragraph says that the charter school may employ or retain non-certificated instructional support staff, that they will not assign grades except in non-core, non-college preparatory courses, and that the board may employ or retain non-certificated staff to provide instruction in the visual and performing arts, including but not limited to dance, music, and acting, which shall be understood to constitute non-core, non-college preparatory subjects. It's true that the state allows charter schools to do just that. However, also in their charter, on page 107, on description of employee rights, it says that the charter school employees will be provided all of the rights and responsibilities of employees of the district. Employees will also be represented by employee organizations representing those positions in the district and will be covered by those employee-employer agreements with provision for addendums specific to the charter school. What that means is that if you're going to make an exception, then it needs to be we need to have an addendum on our collective bargaining agreement, our CBA, to allow for that. Because otherwise, I'm sure that we have members who would like to teach maybe as a PE instructor, Taekwondo, or some of the courses that are taught there certainly fit under a certificated teacher job. And I know that it's been happening for a long time, but this is a grievable issue. And while I really love the academy and want the best for them, I also want to maintain the professionality of our district and have professionals in those positions. So when you're looking it over, please consider that. Are there any questions?
Any questions? Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Public comments from Michael Zisk from Yuba Gardens.
It's safe. You may open
them.
It's not
going to
pop out. to the table. It's right here.
That's all right. I am standing.
Thank you so much. About a year ago, an opportunity arose to fulfill something that had dawned on me as an educator at Lyndhurst High School, where I taught language arts. The sophomores were all asked for 5 years while they were with me to interview a family member about an event that occurred before the student was born. In writing about this, my Hmong students unanimously wrote about the crossing of their parents, grandparents, from Laos to Thailand. And that crossing was completely unsafe and nightmarish. To do so, crossing the Mekong River required a journey that took the lives of many family members en route. It occurred to me that this story was unknown to many of the students in the act of their interview. An opportunity then arises, a grant to the Ezra Jack Keats Foundation in Brooklyn, New York, to begin a project called Mekong Faces, where students of Lyndhurst and students where I now teach, Yuba Gardens, collaborate together with real photography family members, painting their picture through my guidance as an artist. I then impose upon 40 tiles of faces a riverscape of the sky, the mountains, and the Mekong River. It has gone through many transformations and cycles since. The installation is final. In addition to this, our Bantao quilts made by Hmong people, one of which is of the Mekong crossing itself. There's another Bantao that has been donated to Yuba Garden some years ago, now part of our installation. Combining the quilts and the installation of these images, we now have a permanent installation honoring Hmong family members and telling a story that needs to be told for generations to come, as many Hmong people do not understand who are young, why they are in the United States. I am inviting all of you to please come to Yuba Gardens, see this installation, and experience the story for yourselves that our students have generated. Any questions?
Questions, board?
We did receive, I don't know how many people had a chance to read it, but in our board packet, our weekly board, we had a wonderful story in there about the this particular event that the kids put together. If you haven't read it, it's really super. And how long will the display be on?
It's permanent. Permanent.
It'll be permanent?
Correct.
Starting Monday?
It was unveiled publicly last week at our Spring Festival. It will be a permanent installation in the Charles D. Center Library at Yuba Gardens.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Congratulations on
thank you very much.
Project. Anyone else? Mr. Miller?
Try there. Yeah, I, knowing a little bit about Vietnam, I was there, fortunately, and the people, they really tolerated a lot. They went through a lot. Fortunately, our government let them come here. They did a lot for the soldiers in Vietnam, and it was greatly appreciated. And I, for one, appreciate it. So,
thank you very much.
Anyone else? Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Jim Carpenter.
Well, that's a tough one to follow. I remember interviewing Neng Zhang for my CLAD certificate, and he talked about that, and it was powerful. I'm coming before you tonight as the supervisor for Indian Ed. Because there are two items in the consent agenda, our grant renewal and an overnight field trip. If you have any questions, I'd be glad to answer them to the best of my ability. But while I'm here, I also want to invite you to a couple upcoming events that we're sponsoring. The first is this Friday. It'll be out primarily on the lawn across from the district office. It's our annual Native People's History Day. And we have 32 classrooms from Yuba, Sutter, and Butte counties coming. We're anticipating over 900 students. We have about 100 staff and volunteers that will be putting it on, with 33 different stations, with things such as archery, making Native crafts like pine nut necklaces and corn husk dolls, a demonstration in making fire, in which no actual fire will be made, but they will see how it's done. And that starts at 9 in the morning and runs through about 1:30 in the afternoon. And then the weekend of June 7th and 8th, we will have the 33rd annual Yuba Sutter Powwow. It's being held at Riverfront Park in Marysville and runs from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. Saturday, the 7th of June, and from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. on Sunday, the 8th. And I went there last year as one who knew I was going to be with the program, but I had nothing to do with prepping it last year, and it was quite impressive. And so this year I get to see the work that goes into putting that on. I'd be honored to have any and all of you come to both events and see it firsthand. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Any questions?
What was the first date for the...
This Friday.
This Friday?
Yes.
And that's going to be across the street? Or?
It's going to be in the lawn right across the parking lot. Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Jim.
Thank you.
Superintendent's report.
I only have one announcement, and that is that on May 31st, that's Saturday, from 7 to 10 p.m., we are having our fourth annual Education Foundation fundraiser called Wine and Dine Under the Stars, and I would love for all of you to attend. It is $40 per person, but with that, it goes 100% to the foundation, which in turn 100% of those dollars go directly to teachers and staff as they submit their mini grants for funding twice a year. And so I hope to see you all there. It is outdoor elegant attire, and we have approximately 12 vintners and breweries coming. Michelle Healy has done an amazing job getting those folks to come back again this year. And we have about 12 different restaurants that will be serving a whole host of appetizers, all the way from appetizer to desserts. We have cakes by request coming again this year, so it is a full menu, and it should tantalize your taste buds. So we hope to see you there. Thank you.
Thank you. Approval of minutes of April 8th, 2014. Any questions, or can I entertain a motion, please?
I'll move to accept the minutes as written.
We have a motion to accept the minutes as written by Mr. Rick. Do I have a second? And a second by Mr. Boom. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? That passed unanimously. You have before you the consent agenda. If any member wishes to pull anything from the consent agenda, please do so. Yeah. We'll discuss these items individually.
Could you speak in the mic? I'm sorry.
Education. Uh-huh. Number two.
And I'd like to pull number one under student attendance and discipline.
Any others?
Personnel service. Item number six.
Item number six. One, two. Consider item number one now. From was that you, Mr. Rack? Oh, excuse me. No. Do I have a motion with the exceptions of one, two, and six? A motion for approval on the consent agenda. We have a motion for approval from Mr. Fleury. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
And a second from Mr. Reck. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
That passes.
We'll now consider item number one on the consent item agenda. Or two, educational services. Mr. Fleury.
Which I called her on was the training is on May 22nd, 29th, and 6th, June 5th. And I remember as a principal, this is, and a vice principal, this was a tough time because of people being out of school and having subs on campus. So I just wanted to make the comment. It seems confusing they would schedule this at the end of the year. And Lenny explained that that was the time that the teachers wanted it, is what she told me, but I'm just concerned. I remember what it was like trying to close the school year.
Any other concerns? Would you like to address that?
Sure.
It's not necessarily that they wanted it to happen at that particular time, but we've been doing training all year long, and so we've had the math training earlier in the year, and we had a lot of teachers who had heard great things about it and wanted to attend, so they requested that we hold the training again. And we've gotten a long way in the school year, so this is where we're at. The other thing that happens, too, and I explained to Mr. Fleury, is towards the end of the year, teachers are more willing to leave their classrooms. I don't know if it's because testing's over or how those things are happening, but the trainings are optional, and they are choosing to come to that training.
Okay. Any other questions? If not, can I have entertain a motion, please?
Motion to approve.
We have a motion approved by Mr. Fleury. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second, Mr. Harris. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Passes unanimously. I believe item number six is our last one on the consent. One, excuse me. And that was... passed unanimously, yes.
No.
Well,
was there a no vote?
You're nay?
I'm sorry?
Were you a nay on the, was it 6-1?
No.
No, it was passed unanimously.
7?
Uh-huh.
7-1. Now, personnel.
Now, who had number 6-1? Yes. Go ahead. Mr. Miller.
I was just wondering, what is the reason for this change?
If I may, the reason for the change is to better attract a more widespread interest group for the position. Fiscal services is a more fitting title. In most districts, the director of budget and accounting is limiting in terms of the duties that we would expect them to complete. A director of fiscal services is pretty much more encompassing. It's a more global and overarching responsibility level that includes all aspects of fiscal services. And so the job description in and of itself limits the duties, and given the training ground of more people moving up, the understanding that fiscal services is a greater and larger realm than just the more finite tasks of dealing with budgets and dealing with accounting. And so the folks that we hope to attract have the broader experience of all aspects of fiscal services. So to that end, in an effort to attract people that better understand that nomenclature of fiscal services, we want to change the title and then ultimately modify the job description to reflect the new title within the duties. So it's not about changing the position in terms of funding or duration of the period, work year, none of that. It's simply to better highlight and illustrate the duties that would attract a greater pool of better applicants.
Doesn't that come under the assistant superintendent's position?
Yes, it is the position that is directly supervised by the assistant superintendent for fiscal services, which is how we attracted a better candidate pool by changing that as opposed to business services. It is business services, but we interviewed with the expectation of fiscal services being a broader and more overarching, farther-reaching title.
Thank you.
This position was also, title was changed in conjunction with conversations with our new CBO, Ryan DiGiulio. And so he is well aware, and he actually supported the change in the title to broaden the scope of this position.
Any, well, go ahead, continue, Mr. Miller.
No, go ahead.
No, I'm sorry.
I have a hard time with it because down the road, they're going to ask for more money. And it's going to be higher wages, more money. And Mr. Fleury and some others have brought up continuously the idea of hiring other people back eventually. And I can see this interfering with that. Through the aspect of he's going to want more pay.
This is a director level position. This is a director level position consistent with all other classified managers. So to the extent that that person would be placed on the same pay range as other directors, and the broader title gives that person greater responsibilities that they're already doing. That person in budget and accounting is already doing those fiscal service type duties. It's just a name change.
But eventually it's going to be more money. I'm not saying right now. I'm saying a year down the road, I'm going to want more money for my time.
But eventually everybody gets a raise.
To a certain point, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's not saying that it's going to go above and beyond the scale. There's a scale, and if they get a 2%, they get a 2%.
But if I'm assistant director of something, I'm going to get so much. The minute they change my title to director, I'm going to get more.
Not if you're hired in. Not if you're hired in at the scale. They say this is the scale where you're being hired.
That's what I'm saying. That scale will change.
We control how the scale changes, and it's not changing.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other comments on this particular item? If not, do we have a motion? Entertain a motion. We have a motion to approve by Mr. Harris. Do I have a second? Second by Mr. Boom. All in favor, please designate by raising your hand and saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. One, Mr. Boom, Mr. Fleury, Mr. Reck, Mr. Harris, Mr. Danable, Mr. Crawford, and Mr. Miller, nay?
No.
No, nay. 6-1 on that. And that's the end of...
Under student attendance and discipline number one, this is the SWIS agreement. My comment here was, and I've kind of opposed this in the past, in reading through their contract, they have a hold harmless agreement. If there's a dissemination of information or material that they gather, they are not responsible, however the district is. And that goes back to their, 10-page contract back here. So they have a whole harmless agreement. I know that the schools liked it. We approved it last year. And I kind of opposed it for the same reason last year also. So that's just a comment.
Just to let you know that PBIS, Positive Behavior and Support Systems, that the schools are adopting and the state has kind of adopted as the positive, to decrease discipline and to improve attendance, that we have to use SWIS. Because that data that we, monthly, the schools are looking at that data to determine what's going on at the school site, the time of day, the area in which the discipline's happening, the interventions that are happening with the teacher. So, I mean, I understand your concern, but the system's been around, I think, for 18 years. I mean, ARIES is web-based, too, so it's the same risk, I guess, when you're using anything that's web-based. So.
Yeah. Yes, I know that. Yeah. We approved it last year.
I
just wanted to point that out. That, yeah. This is once thing they're electronically transferred, somehow they may never go away. So, and just a comment.
That's a legitimate comment. Any other comments on item number one? If not, do I have a motion?
Motion to approve.
We have a motion to approve by Mr. Fleury. Do I have a second?
Second,
Mr. Harris. All in favor? 7 ayes? Nays?
1, 2.
And Mr. Miller? That would be 5 yes and 2 no. Thank you. That's the end of old business. New business, Board of Trustees, Resolution 213-1428, specifications of the election order of the governing board. The purpose of this agenda item is to notify the board that the education code requires all governing board elections be consolidated in accordance with the provisions of the code. A notice of consolidation and a specification of election order requires action by the board and should be returned to the county school's office. Any questions or concerns? If not, do I have a motion?
I'll move to approve resolution 2013-1428.
We have a motion of approval and a second by Mr. Boom. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Second was by...
Excuse me, yeah, Mr. Boom. And it passed unanimously 7-0. Resolution 23-1429, rules and regulations pertaining to candidate statements for governing board elections. The first day for candidates, the background is to pick up your nomination papers are July 14th. Are there any questions or concerns?
No questions. I'll make a motion to approve.
We have a motion to approve if there's no questions by Mr. Harris. Do I have a second?
Second.
And a second by Mr. Miller. All in favor, please say by aye.
Aye.
And opposed, nay. 7 yes. Okay, now. Resolution 2013-1430, the votes at governing board elections. This provides information on tie votes be furnished to all candidates when they pick up their nomination papers. The first day for candidates to do this is also July 14th. Any questions? That's an odd one.
I'm not sure that was stated to the way that the resolution actually...
Well, I did skip a whole lot of it. That's why I chuckled when I went back on it. Would you like to read it in its entirety? The purpose of the agenda item is request the board approve a resolution establishing the procedure to be used should there be a tie vote in board member elections. The election code provides information on tie votes be furnished to all candidates when they pick up their nomination papers. The first day for candidates to do this is July 14th, 2014. That is interesting. And
I'll move to approve that.
Are there any questions?
Resolution.
I'll second. We have a motion of approval and a second for Mr. Fleury. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Nay? Opposed? Passed unanimously 7-0.
No,
that's the superintendent, the 5-year charter renewal request for the Marysville Charter Academy.
Yes. The purpose of this agenda item is to request the board hold a public hearing regarding the proposed 5-year charter renewal request submitted by the Marysville Charter Academy for the Arts. And this evening we have Mr. Tim Malone, who is here to present some information as soon as the board declares the public hearing is now open.
Good evening, everybody. I'm here to request a 5-year charter renewal. The current charter runs out June 13th, so I'm here to ask you to consider that. And I have a brief little PowerPoint I want to share with you that kind of summarizes how things have changed and what's going on at the charter school. So Here we go. The mission, to integrate the creative arts throughout the curriculum. Remember, the school was established because of the arts. There was a real lack of these types of classes being taught in our school, so the charter school and a small group of families got together and created the Marysville Charter Academy for the Arts. Demographic changes over the last 5 years. The school student population has increased from 321 to 378, so a small increase. The percentage of socioeconomically disadvantaged students has increased from 40 to 50%, and our percentage of minority students has increased from 41 to 52%, all over the last 5 years. Safety, I would say I'm very proud that of the fact that students at MCA are very tolerant and accepting of each other's beliefs, appearance, and or disability. There's kids that go to our school that would most assuredly be picked on at other schools, and they get along very well at the school and excel. It's extremely rare to have violence at MCAA. We have had only two of these types of incidents at the school since during the last 5 years. Attendance rates are very high. Last year, our attendance rate was 98%. Parent involvement, that is one of the requirements that we have. It's hard to enforce, but parents at our school are much more involved than other places. Parents are expected to volunteer 20 hours of their time per school year. We have a group of parents that probably donate more like 200 hours. But parents volunteer by helping with fundraising, set building, painting, supervising events, sewing costumes, being a part of the PTSA, site council, and in many other ways. Examples of the arts at MCA are ballet, tap dance, modern dance, painting and drawing, AP art, jazz band, concert band, various levels of guitar, songwriting, marching band, drumline next year, creative writing, video editing, photography, martial arts, graphic arts, various drama classes, choir, piano, vocal technique, and various strings classes. Academics, over the last 5 years, our academic performance index has increased 64 points with a high of 877. Over the same period, our economically disadvantaged students' API has grown by 69 points with a high of 870. And then last year in the exit exam, we had 100% pass the English portion, and 87% of those were proficient. So it's one level to just pass, and then you have to reach another level to become proficient. And then math, 98% passed with 78% proficient. And those rates increased roughly 3%, the proficiency rate, 3% for both English and math. And now we offer 5 AP classes. That's quite an addition over the last 5 years. Last year, we became a California Distinguished School again. 2013 was last for 5 years. And then I just found out last week when someone from KUBA called and said that you were chosen, MCA was chosen to be as one of the best high schools in America by U.S. News and World Report, this year being a silver medal winner. We've won that, I think, for eight years in a row. Last year it was a bronze award, so we went up a little bit to a silver medal winner.
If I could please intercede just one second. It was my mistake. This is a public hearing. No action will be taken, but I was talking to a colleague. I need a motion to hold this public hearing. Do I have a motion, please? We have a motion for Mr. Harris. Do I have a second?
Second.
Hold the public hearing.
It's just to close it.
Oh, I thought that formality.
Just to close it.
Excuse me for my interruption.
That's okay. Okay, so continuing on, criteria for renewal. Senate Bill 1290 states the renewal criteria for charter schools in California. Charter schools that have been in operation for at least 4 years must meet at least one of the following criteria before renewal. Now, Marysville Charter Academy began in the year 2000. One way, you just have to meet one of these following 5 criteria. Attained its academic performance index growth target in the prior year in two of the last 3 years, or in the aggregate for the prior 3 years, which we met that. We've met that every year. So that alone qualifies us. Another way to meet that is to be ranked in deciles 4 to 10 inclusive on the API in the prior year or in 2 of the last 3 years. We're either 9 or 10. I can't remember what it was last year. And then ranked in deciles 4 to 10 inclusive on the API for a demographically comparable school in the prior year or in 2 of the last 3 years. I think we ranked 6 in demographically comparable schools. And then the entity that granted the charter determines that the academic performance of the charter school is at least equal to the academic performance of the public schools that the charter school pupils would otherwise have been required to attend, as well as the academic performance of schools in the district in which the charter school is located. take into account the composition of the pupil population that served at the charter school. Okay, so if you looked at a third of our students come from out of the district, mostly from the Yuba City area, and then so two-thirds of them come from within the district. And looking at that, we do meet the AP requirements for that. And then number five doesn't pertain to our school. So we meet all of those, all the criteria for charter renewal. And then each year there are waiting lists for 7th through 10th grades. Each grade can have as many as 30 students waiting to get in. Typically the biggest lists are between 7th and 9th grade. And so, MCA is asking the school board members for a 5-year renewal of our charter. So, any questions?
Questions on the board.
Mr. Flurry.
Just a comment. I was one of the board members who had a chance to meet with the WASC personnel, and their perception of your school was outstanding as related to us, and all the questions that they asked, we had all the appropriate answers, which were very true, and congratulations on your achievements.
Thank you, and thank you and Jim both for being there.
I was the other board member was there, and the man said he was 41 years in education, said he'd never seen a school that was like this, and they invited us to stay for the parent meeting, and it was very interesting. The parent meeting, they were very complimentary. The only thing they said was that they were concerned that it was grown and they knew more kids that wanted to get in. Today I was eating lunch somewhere and there was a girl talking about, people were talking about MCAA, and she said it's the best school experience I had when I went to MCA from the other school. And I've heard that from a lot of people, that the situation is very positive for them. And I've known several that came from the elementary school that were picked on and they thrived in MCAA. So you really to be congratulated. That's an amazing school.
Well, it's the entire staff and you all that. Some of you may have been here. I don't know when the school began. Am I wrong?
Maybe Jeff.
Yes. Yeah, so thank you.
But it takes a good leader to pull it together. It's whoever's in charge.
Thank you. Any other questions from anybody?
Any other questions? Thank you very, very much.
Okay, thank you.
Motion to close. I now need a motion to close the public hearing. So moved by Mr. Miller. Do I have a second? Mr. Flurry, all in favor, please state by aye.
Aye.
And nays, 7-0. Facilities Department, Resolution 2314.
Before that.
Pardon me? Adopt development fees on residential, commercial, and industrial development.
Good evening, board members. We need to announce we're going to hold a public hearing.
We are now holding a public meeting.
Public hearing.
A public hearing.
Yes. Now, Michelle.
This public hearing is to discuss the adoption of the new developer fee study that we had completed for the district. The developer fees are charged to all new residential units or any developer or homeowner adding more than 500 square feet to their home, and any new commercial spaces or anything like a storage unit. The base levels are set by the State Allocation Board at the State of California, and we do this study every year to determine what types of fees we're allowed to charge the developers, and that helps to go pay for a lot of the new construction that has been going on in the district. Traditionally, we have been charging level two fees, which are higher, and that has been determined by the amount of development within the area, as well as how many what they call unseated students that we have. How much capacity do we have versus how many students do we think are going to be coming into the district within the next 5 years? And since development has been slowing a little bit, we are now back to charging level one fees. So our fees are going down for residential. And the residential fees are the only ones that move between level one, level two, and then if the state is completely out of new construction money or modernization money, then they would go to level three, although they have decided that that won't happen based on the fact that they think there will be a bond on the ballot in November for a statewide school bond. So our commercial fees are raising from 47 cents a square foot to 54 cents a square foot, and that is the base rate that the state allocation board sets, and that's statewide. We don't have any control over that. And our level one fee will also be what the state allocation board recommends or mandates, and that is $3.36 per square foot.
Questions?
I was just going to say, and who typically does our developer fee study?
Schoolworks.
Anyone else? Mr. Boone? Do I have a motion to approve this study? Close the hearing, excuse me. Mr. Miller, yes? Do I have a second?
Second,
Mr. Reck. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Pass 7-0.
Now we need a
motion to approve the study.
Do I have a motion to approve this study?
Motion to approve.
Mr. Boone, and a second to Mr. Miller. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? 7-0. Do I have a motion to approve resolution?
I make a motion.
We have a motion to approve resolution by Mr. Fleury. Do I have a second?
The motion to approve the resolution. We have a motion by Mr. Fleury and second.
I'll second it.
And a second by Mr. Mayor. This motion is required to close the hearing. To approve the resolution. I have a second. Thank you. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? 7-0. Thank you.
Security
systems at various school sites. Purpose of this agenda item is request the board approve the lease-back LLB contract for construction projects. I need a motion here.
I think Michelle's going to give you the purpose of the agenda item and a little background as to why it's coming before you tonight.
This is a facilities project in conjunction with technology that is going to be paid for out of the reimbursement money or restructuring money we had gotten when we refinanced our COPs about a year and a half ago. And when we refinanced those, we pulled some money out of it, and that has been in the general fund, and it was designated for the security camera project. The security cameras are going to cover Marysville High School, Yuba Gardens, McKinney, Foothill, MCAA, and North Marysville. And we'll also be adding some security cameras out where Indian Education is currently housed and where the independent study will be housed next year. So all of those campuses will be completely covered with indoor and exterior cameras as we felt were needed. We had several discussions with the principals and technology, Ramon and technology, and the security camera experts came out and also analyzed what type of cameras we should put in which locations so that we would get the best coverage day and night throughout all of the campuses. Lyndhurst was not included in this project because they had moved forward already and had already put cameras throughout their campuses, which is why we did not include them. So we just included the high schools and the middle schools. And this project was a lease-back. We put it out to four general contractors, and as you can see, their quotes came in as noted under the RFP response, and Burco Constructors was below. We'd like to move forward, and our plan is to be done by June 30th of this year.
Thank you, Michelle. Any questions from the board, please? Mr. Miller?
Yes, I have some questions. How was this project advertised?
It was advertised to a selection of four contractors that are on our approved lease-back list. And then they are able to put it out to electricians, and the low voltage sub also had to be pre-qualified through our technology department.
And where were the bids open? When and where?
They came into the facilities department, and that was on April 30th at 2 o'clock.
And where were they opened?
They actually come in by email.
They came in by what?
Email.
You can't, no, you can't do that. Specifically states in the contract law and the Ed Code, you cannot accept bids that way. They must be sealed. So I would request that these bids, we go out to bid again and accept sealed bids.
I can certainly look into that. I have not read that code section.
If you'd like to come here, I have it right here in my packet if you'd like to come see it.
I have a question.
Mr. Fleury, while you look that up, Ms. Fleury has a question. Go ahead.
I would just like to know how much have you been in contact with our new business manager that is going to oversee this department?
I don't believe we've had a discussion with Mr. DiGiulio on this particular project. It has been a line item in the budget that Mr. Allgaier has presented probably close to a year now. It was something that was identified as being a great need, and that's why we moved forward. He did come before the board and ask about having those funds set aside for security cameras, and the board agreed that that was a good use of those funds that were now available.
I would like to see Ryan here when we do this. I lost my faith on the 13th. And so I want to make sure he's going to overlook that. And when we had our portable, the problem.
They must be sealed. Thank you.
And you certainly can vote no on this item, or you can have it pulled, whatever you please
He'll
to do,
here
whatever
in three,
the majority of the board wishes to do.
He'll be here in 3 weeks.
And I might add, they should be publicly put out to the public in the newspaper, if you will.
As using lease leaseback, do not need to do that since we went through a pre-qualification process with all of our contractors quite a few years ago. And with that, we have the option to solicit contractors that we would like to work with.
You are correct. That is correct, yes.
And they do advertise themselves.
And I would for one member on this board, would like to see them opened here in public.
Questions or concerns addressing this matter, Mr. Redd?
Should we consider tabling this motion until the next meeting?
Yes, I think so.
I'd like to make a motion to table this particular item until the next board meeting.
All right.
We have a second.
Excuse me, but Mr. DiGiulio is not coming to work for us until June 2nd, so the next board meeting would not, if that is the request, that Mr. DiGiulio review this prior to it coming back to the board, it would have to come to one of the meetings later in June.
I would feel comfortable having him review this for me.
June 24th.
Ms. Schill, is that going to cause problems for timelines for this project to go forward?
Possibly. We do have the timeline in for the contractor to be done by June 30th. They have already started their planning of how they're going to get it done. They're planning on working swing shift at all the schools until school was out. And then moving forward, I can find out if the bids are still going to be the same if we extend the timeline through the summer. And I do want to point out that this is how we've been accepting bids for 3 or 4 years in the facilities department. All of our previous leaseback bids have also come in via email.
Any other questions? There's a motion tentatively on the floor. Are there any more questions of Michelle? Mr. Denable?
I agree. I think we should wait on this.
I would suggest we just pull it from the agenda at this point.
Well, there's a motion for Mr.
Rack. Well, you don't need a motion because the last time we had a contract on this agenda, it was pulled by the superintendent. So if the superintendent can pull it, you may pull it.
Well,
is that the consensus of the board?
That's why I'm accepting the motion. If the motion is...
Well,
for safety's sake, I would be more comfortable with a motion and a complete, or at least the input of the board. We have a motion for Mr. Reck to table this matter and a second for Mr. Danable. Now I'll take the roll call individually. Mr. Boom, yes or no?
I have a question.
Yes, Mr. Harris.
What are the issues? Why are you tabling the matter? I'm not clear on why we're tabling the matter. We have a board member who doesn't trust staff. We have a board member who wants it open and public. We have a board member who says...
We have a board member that cited the law, sir.
Please. He still has the floor, Mr. Harrison.
Okay,
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
All I want to know is why are we tabling the issue? Is it because?
Would you bring those papers up that I just gave you, please?
Mr. Miller, right now, the question is, Mr. Harris wants to know why we're tabling. I'm just entertaining a motion for Mr. Rex.
I'm going to question.
Thank you.
I agree. I am answering your question, sir. You ask a question, sir. I am answering it.
Please ask.
If you would like to, sir,
if you would answer the chair.
If you would like to read the law, sir, and you being a ex-probation department and sworn to uphold the law, you may read it right here, sir.
That's out of order.
That's
please.
Why I'm questioning it. It's the law.
Mr. Miller, you will have your opportunity once again. Mr. Harris has a question.
I know
why. Why are we tabling the issue?
Why?
Is it because staff doesn't trust, our trustees don't trust the staff, or is it that we
would
want...
Would you pass that down to him, please?
Please. Just let him say it's on its way there. Mr. Reck is going to address why he's making a motion, but until then, let Mr. Harris finish.
Why are we tabling?
Mr. Reck, what is the reason for tabling this?
Okay, I was tabling it because there seems to be some question as to the legality of accepting a non-sealed bid for a project. Okay, and once we check that out, if it's a non-sealed bid that was received by email, okay, then if that's in violation of the law, we should check it out before we actually pass it.
I would like to point out that since we do use the lease leaseback, the sealed bids are not required because it can be a negotiated contract. And we actually are able to choose one contractor and completely negotiate the GMP with that one contractor.
If you look up contract code and YEG code, it does state it must be a sealed bid.
If you are publicly bidding it.
We are a public entity.
We are
a school entity.
That is
and
true.
And it is in the ED code.
Yes, it is.
Thank you.
And leaseback is slightly different, where you are allowed to negotiate and you are not required to have sealed bids.
There are questions through the chair through Mr. Harris. Mr. Harris? Mr. Reck, would you be willing to amend your motion?
Well, yes, I think we should table it until we're sure. If that requires counsel, that would be fine with me.
I agree. There is a motion on the floor to table this matter from the Facilities Department until we seek legal counsel. Is that the correct motion?
Mr. Coffer, can I make a... comment, please?
Yes, sir. Yes.
You know, we did some board study sessions on leasebacks, and Michelle is absolutely right. That's the way we've been doing these for 3 or 4 or 5 years under Mr. Allgaier for a long, long time, who was an expert in that area. This is not a low bid. This is a leaseback. We can take the highest price of the bidders that bid. We don't have to take the lowest price. We take who we feel is best qualified for the job. We have changed these from taking one bid on these leasebacks and picking who we want to do the job to taking 3 or 4 bids about 2 years ago. And we still get a guaranteed maximum price. This is not a low bid contract where we have sealed bids. This is a leaseback. And maybe we need to do another board study session so people can understand how a leaseback operates.
Right now, my concern is there's a motion on the floor, not the semantics of who's right or wrong. Mr. Danable, question?
I was just saying that maybe we just really do need to speak to our legal counsel to bring guys like me up to speed regarding all this. instead of just accepting something that's happened 5 years ago, 3 years ago.
Well, once again, we have had the motion, and I'm right or wrong is not the issue. That will be reflected, I imagine, in your vote. Okay, we have a motion on the floor. Then, unless there's any other input, Mr. Miller.
We have a motion on the floor for Mr.
What is the motion, right?
Mr. Rick, I will read back the motion. I'll let you state your motion.
Okay. I'm moving to table this particular item, okay, until we receive from legal counsel approval for its passage under this system. And I think it'll make everybody happier and on the board if we seek legal counsel before we attempt to approve this item on the agenda.
We have a motion on the floor then to seek legal opinion from Mr. Reck and table this matter. And a second from Mr. Harris. Now, a yes vote will mean the acceptance of the motion. A no will mean denial. Mr. Harris.
Yes.
Yes. Mr. Danner.
Explain that again, Frank.
Yes will be acceptance of the motion.
That Mr. Reck made.
Yes. Okay. And no will be a denial of the motion.
So if I vote yes, then we want to speak with legal counsel.
That's correct.
I will vote yes.
That's two yeses. I will vote yes. That's a three. Mr. Reck?
Yes.
Four?
Mr. Yes.
Mr. Lurie?
Five.
Mr. Miller? Six. And Mr. Boone? No. That's 6-1. Hold a public hearing, Board Policy 6142-7, Physical Education. Purpose of this item is to request the Board hold a public hearing regarding a revision to Board Policy 6142-7, PE.
The reason you see this item before you this evening is that we need to add one new sentence to the policy, and the sentence, as per Ed Code, reads, the superintendent or designee shall ensure that the district's program provides students with equal opportunities for instruction and participation, regardless of gender, in accordance with law.
Thank you.
And I would recommend that the board accept this change to the policy.
Do I have a motion to close the public hearing? Motion to close, Mr. Harris, and second, Mr. Reck. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Mr. Miller? Aye. Aye. Seven ayes.
Now we need to approve.
Now we need a motion to approve revision to BP 6142-7. Do I have a motion of approval?
I'll move to approve.
Approved by Mr. Reck, the motion. Do I have a second? Second, Mr. Fleury. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. That's unanimous. 7-0. Thank you. Board Policy 1312-3, Uniform Complaint Procedures. Hold a public hearing. Revision to the Uniform Complaint Procedures. Dr. Todd?
Lenny, you came for this. Would you like to do this item or no? Okay, I would be happy to do it. Assembly Bill AB 9 or Seth's Law requires the following statements or variations in all appropriate components within the board policy be added to Board Policy 1312.3, Uniform Complaint Procedures, and I quote, harassment, intimidation, or bullying in district programs and activities, the prohibition against requiring students to pay fees, deposits, or other charges for participation in educational activities, the requirements for the development and adoption of a school safety plan. And there are accompanying board policies and Ed Code for you to see on how one would go about filing a complaint. I would recommend that the board hold a public hearing and would hope that you would support this change in the policy.
Motion to
Is this a change of policy?
It's a change in that we have to add additional verbiage to our current policy as per Ed Code.
Well, the reason I wonder, because Mr. Danable and I was appointed to the policy committee, and this is the first I've heard about it, change of policy.
Well, let me first, I have a motion to close the public hearing, please.
No, this is for...
Mr. Danable, your input, please.
In the back of the book, it points out that this is coming from California and federal law, incorporation of this particular part of it regarding the harassment and bullying is coming from the state of California Department of Education as a requirement.
It's in keeping in accordance with EDCO. There's no negotiation. It's just that it needs to be included in our policy in order to be in alignment with the California Education Code.
Well, why wasn't the committee notified of this?
To be quite honest with you, I didn't remember you were on a committee for a policy. And it is a directive from the state that we include this in our policy.
That.
So it's not as if we can negotiate it or change the verbiage. It is by
so
EDCO.
So why are we even discussing it then? If it's something that's going
to
happen.
Well, it's something we have to
So, I mean, why is it even on the agenda?
Because it takes board approval to amend your board policies as required by the California Education Code.
Thank you. Any other questions?
If not, I'll move to close the hearing.
We have a motion to close the public hearing. Do I have a second? Second, Mr. Fleury. All in favor of that, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
7-0. Now we need to
I need a motion to approve revisions to BP 1312-3. Do I have that motion? Motion by Mr. Boom to revise. Do I have a second? Second, Mr. Fleury. All in favor, please state by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. 7-0. Thank you very much.
7-yes.
7-yes. Personnel Services. 2014-15, initial bargaining proposal for Marysville Joint Unified School District to MUTA. The purpose of this agenda item is to request the board to hold a public hearing to introduce the initial bargaining proposal from MJUSD to the Marysville Unified Teachers Association, MUTA, for the 2014-15 school year. Mr. Carrion.
As required, we are to present our initial proposal. It is before us, and we would recommend the board then move to close the public hearing so we can get on with the negotiation process as we started yesterday.
If there's no other comments, I'll move to close the hearing.
We have a motion to close the hearing. Do I have a second? We have a second, Mr. Miller. All of us in favor, please state by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. 7-0. Thank you. Motion to close the hearing. 214-15, initial bargaining proposal from CSEA number 326 to the MJUSD. The purpose of this agenda item is to request the board hold a public hearing to introduce the initial bargaining proposal from the California School Employees Association number 326 to the MJUSD for the 2014-15 school year.
I think this is the same, right? Same as the previous initiative in order to continue bargaining or the initial bargaining. If there are no other comments, I'll move to close the hearing.
We have a motion to close the public hearing. Do I have a second? We have a second for Mr. Ferrer. State aye if, for the close. And your motion, if you for yay, please state yay. Yes.
Yes.
Yes. 7-0. Excuse me, I'm a little rattled on these. Resolution 213, 214-32, Classified School Employees Appreciation Week.
The purpose of this agenda item is to request that the board approve the resolution recognizing and honoring the contributions of the district's classified school employees in promoting our commitment to positive student growth through education. The week of May 18th through 24th has been designated as Classified School Employees Week in California by the California School Employees Association and the California State Legislature.
So moved.
We have a motion for approval from Mr. Miller.
I'll second.
Second, Mr. Danable. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
I'd like to add we have the best classified employees of any district.
I would second that. We have an amendment to the agenda. Before you jump up, it's Resolution 213-14-33, Safe Routes to Schools Grant Application. I believe we have someone here to speak to us. Ta-da! Did not forget about you, surprisingly, huh? Mrs. Carrion.
Hello, I'm Jolie Carrion. Do you want me to speak a little bit about what's happening?
You would, and then you entertain some questions.
Okay.
Please.
So Caltrans, with the help of the city, is applying for this grant, which is basically education of bicycle safety, traffic safety, training our guards, our crosswalk guards, safety when we're out there doing some fun walk to school, ride your bike to school type events. This grant they're applying for or submitting it by after approval from the board would be on Monday, so we wouldn't know if we got the grant until September. And basically we would be hiring an outside consultant with this money that would come in and show us how to do safe routes to school too. So right now we have a lot of traffic and congestion in front of the schools, and that's created a problem for kids' safety issue. And by creating, you know, education and educating parents and students and having safe routes, drop-off points where kids can walk to school or ride their bike or skateboard will reduce a lot of the traffic. So that's the ultimate goal.
Thank you. Questions from the board, please. Thank you, Julie.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. You guys are easy.
Do we have a entertain a motion? Entertain a motion to approve. Mr. Fleury, is that a yes? Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Second, Mrs. Danable. All in favor, please say yes.
Aye.
7-0. That completes, I believe, tonight's. Oh, no, I do not want to adjourn without remembering a colleague of mine. I read about it in a paper just today. She was synonymous with Lyndhurst High School. Randy would know that for 30-some years. We were both out there. Marge Cimarron unfortunately passed away, and it was in the newspaper this morning. So I'd like to adjourn in memory of Marge. Thank you.